Morning, everyone. It's another sunny Monday, March 3rd, 2025. Hope this day finds you doing well. You know, most people will not be upfront with you about their struggles. Some people's struggles just really don't need an explanation, though. I mean, the person who struggles with eating will show it in their body. The person who struggles with vanity will show it in their appearance. Person who struggles with life will show it in their aging. Sometimes life is just rough on some people. But unforgiveness is something that can go unnoticed and under the radar, really, until it doesn't. And here's the problem, I believe. This is as I see it. You know, unforgiveness is kind of like a cancer. It starts out small, but it eventually spreads and it affects our entire being. Its very presence impacts absolutely everything that we do and everything that we say. And quite often, it's because we hold on to it, and then we internalize it. And, you know, quite often that cancer of unforgiveness begins to eat us away internally. And unforgiveness, friends, if left unchecked, it turns into bitterness. Bitterness absolutely will disrupt our daily life, and it will cause us to struggle even more. And bitterness impedes our spiritual life. It causes us to become underdeveloped. We just don't hunger for the things of God. We begin to almost feel indifferent to the things of God and numb to the plight of the world around us. And you may be asking right now, so what are we going to do about it? Let me just tell you this. We cannot go on living in unforgiveness. We are not designed for that. We are designed for life. And we need to keep forgiveness on the table. We need to always be ready and always be willing to forgive. Sometimes this idea requires that we go to the other person and ask for forgiveness or deal with the situation. And other times it means that we simply change our attitude towards them. I believe by changing our attitude, we will find the grip of unforgiveness will gradually be released. And it'll be released in our own mind. It'll be released in our own heart. It'll be released in our own soul. And we will eventually become free. Remember, it's not a matter of being fake, but of just being genuinely nice. Now, I believe that's the base level of getting out of unforgiveness. You just start being kind. And you see the value in being kind. I mean, there is a value in being kind. It's not a matter of rich and poor or successful. I just really believe that kind people who genuinely are seeking to be kind are the happiest people. Regardless of wealth, regardless of success, regardless of accomplishments, regardless of notoriety, I think there is something internally in them that when you are genuinely happy and kind, man, you're living life, so to speak. But let's go to what the Bible says here. I want to give you a few verses here. And you may want to write these down. The first one's in Matthew 6, 14, 15. It says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you in heaven." I believe the two go hand in hand, you know. If you have an attitude of forgiveness, God will forgive you. Likewise, if you've been forgiven of God, and you forgive others, that demonstrates your thankfulness for being forgiven by God. The alternative to that, if you will, or on the flip side, the opposite, is if you have been forgiven of God, but you won't forgive others, then it really kind of shows that you're not that thankful that God's forgiven you. And then look at Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, Paul says, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Kind of goes with what I just said. And the last one is Colossians 3:12 and 13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. You may think to yourself, well, that kind of makes Christianity almost seem like weak, you know? Well, you know what? You're right. We are steeped in weakness, and it's the grace of God that is our strength. It is the forgiveness of God that is our strength. It doesn't matter how much you can bench press, how tough you are, how tough people think you are. If you are not willing to, as a believer or as a professing believer, put on a compassionate heart and seek to be kind to others, seek to operate out of humility, meekness, and patience, then you are cowardly. Honestly, I think that's a right assessment there. God wants to work through you, and you will not let Him. Sometimes we just have to let down our guards, guys, and allow God to work through us, because this is how God operates. He operates in compassion. He operates in holiness. He operates in humility. And those who seek to come to Him with humility, bearing with others in patience, He will work. He will turn it around, and it will go well. But He cannot work through a hard heart. So that's the only way we can come to God. And, you know, remember, as God has forgiven us, so we must be willing to forgive others. Let me leave you with this thought. And this is something that I came across, and it was given to a Bible college. And I can't remember the name of the Bible college. Let me see if I can pull it up here. It's not listed on there. But anyway, I don't know if it's somewhere in Michigan or not. I can't quite remember. But anyway, this story is told of Corrie Ten Boom and her experience. And this is how it reads. It says, Corrie Ten Boom and her family resisted the Nazis by hiding Jews in their home. They were ultimately discovered and sent to a concentration camp. Corrie barely survived until the end of the war. Her family members died in captivity. Seared by this terrible trial by fire, Corrie's faith in God also survived, and she spent most of her time in the post-war years traveling in Germany and elsewhere in Europe, sharing her faith in Christ. On one occasion in 1947, while speaking in a church in Munich, she noticed a balding man in a gray overcoat near the rear of the basement room. She had been speaking on the subject of God's forgiveness, but her heart froze within her when she recognized the man. She could picture him as she had seen him so many times before, in his blue Nazi uniform with a visored cap, the cruelest of the guards of the Ravensbrück camp, where Corrie had suffered the most horrible indignities and where her own sister had died. Yet here he was, at the end of her talk, coming up the aisle toward her with his hand thrust out. "Thank you for your fine message," he said. "How wonderful it is to know that all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea." Yes, Corrie had said that. She had spoken so easily of God's forgiveness, but here was a man whom she despised and condemned with every fiber of her being. She couldn't take his hand. She couldn't extend forgiveness to this Nazi oppressor. She realized that this man didn't remember her. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands? "You mentioned Ravensbrück," the man continued, his hand still extended. "I was a guard there. I'm ashamed to admit it, but it's true. But since then, I've come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It has been hard for me to forgive myself for all the cruel things I did, but I know that God has forgiven me. And please, if you would, I would like to hear from your lips, too, that God has forgiven me." Corrie recorded his response in her book. This is what Corrie Ten Boom said herself right here. "I stood there, I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, and could not forgive. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours, as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I could ever do. For I had to do it. I knew that. It was so simple, and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart, and so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. 'I forgive you, brother,' I cried, 'with all my heart.' For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then." This was written in her book called The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom. And you know, what a great example to really conclude this thought, that unforgiveness can sometimes rest in our chest. It can rest in our heart. It can rest in our mind. And you may not see the effects of it right off, but over time, it will begin to eat away at your very core. It will eat away at your being, and you will realize that the only way you're going to be able to live and be free is to let your guard down and forgive. We have to, friends. We are not made to live in unforgiveness. We just can't. Yeah, I think there's something that points to the forgiveness of Christ, don't you? I mean, when we consider that idea that I'm promoting, that we're not meant to live in unforgiveness. Well, God has created us to worship, and God has created us for a relationship with Himself. And if we live and continue in unforgiveness, just as people, that is where we will spend our eternity. So, as believers, I'm just saying we cannot choose to live in unforgiveness. It's just not going to work. We've got to be willing to forgive. And even if people won't receive it, we got to be willing to keep it on the table and realize that we've done what we can do to extend the arm of forgiveness. And even if people won't take it, we've got to keep living as though they have and treat them as such. I just believe that's the only way things are going to get better in the churches. I think that's the only thing that's going to really help the gospel prevail in the world. Is if God's people will not live as though they've been unforgiven. I hope this blesses you today, and I want you to know that God loves you and God is willing to forgive you. And if you are not saved, if you are not a believer in Christ, today you can receive the gift of salvation. God says that whoever will come to me, he will not cast out. And so all you have to do is confess that you have sinned against God and believe in your heart that he has received that and that he has forgiven you and God will forgive you. One of the most simplest things that we could ever do is so hard. It's amazing how that kind of works out. But God is willing and ready to forgive, and we as his people must be willing to as well. I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless you. And remember, the sun always shines. God bless.